Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Arbeiten bei Mainova, da steckt mehr dahinter. Wir suchen Ingenieure und Ingenieurinnen wie Sie, die bereit sind, mit uns Großes zu bewegen. Als führender Anbieter für Energiedienstleister aus der Wirtschaftsmetropole Frankfurt bauen wir bei Mainova die Energieinfrastruktur von morgen. Wir bieten Ihnen eine leitende Rolle mit attraktivem Gehalt, inklusive Zusatzleistungen und vielfältige Weiterbildungsmöglichkeiten. Jetzt bewerben unter mainova.de/karriere.
Welcome to the documentary on the BBC World Service and welcome to Assignment. I'm Tim Mansell. This story begins with a podcast.
We are Legion.
A podcast made by a group of German journalists at the end of 2023.
Und das ist Legion, Most Wanted.
A podcast in which they used artificial intelligence to track down one of Germany's most wanted criminals.
I'm Patrick Stegemann. I'm the co-founder of Andan. It's a podcast studio in Berlin.
You'll find the Undone premises in a converted industrial space in Kreuzberg, a district of Berlin close to where the wall used to run. Patrick tells me the story. They'd had an email from a listener who said he'd been at a party some years ago in Cologne. There was an older woman there, and at some point in the evening she'd taken him aside and showed him an old poster. It was a wanted poster, an array of mugshots, all suspected terrorists from a group called the RAF. She'd pointed at one of the pictures and said, "That's me." The name under the picture was Daniele Kletter.
The guy went back home after the party and he Googled RAF terrorist woman. So he found the picture of Daniele Kletter, and then he looked at the picture of his friend he met at a party and said, "Yeah, could be. Maybe she's Daniele Kletter."
Daniele Kletter disappeared from public view some 30 years ago. She's suspected of taking part in several RAF operations in the early 1990s. So why did you decide as a group to take this forward?
Because it's a crazy story. So let's try to find her.
As part of their search, Patrick and the team brought in an AI expert. They'd got hold of a picture of the woman at the party in Cologne, and they asked him to compare it to the picture of Daniele Kletter from the wanted poster.
And the first software said, "No, that's not the same person. The person our listener gave us and Daniele Kletter, not the same person.
There's no match."
No, no match.
But the AI expert had another trick up his sleeve, a different AI tool. With this one, you go on a kind of digital fishing expedition in the internet. You upload a picture of someone and it will look online for images of the same person.
So we did this with Daniele Kletter, with her picture, and bang, it works like this woman, she's in Berlin.
And not just in Berlin, pretty much in the same neighbourhood as the podcast studio.
There's a picture the software found from a woman which has a 99% likelihood to be Daniele Kletter.
The picture they found showed a woman, perhaps in her early 60s, with long grey hair. It was on the website of a local capoeira club. That's a form of martial art from Brazil. A bit more digital detective work led to a Facebook page and a name, Claudia Yvonne. Was Claudia Daniele Kletter? Patrick and a colleague went to the club to see if they could find her.
There's one, like, he's the leader of this club, And we knew that he was with Claudia. He was with her in Brazil and in Paris on holidays.
They knew this because of other pictures they'd found on the internet.
So we went to him and said, okay, what happened to Claudia? And he said, after the pandemic, she left and she never came back.
He told them that Claudia used to come to the club, but that he hadn't seen her for a few years.
So that was actually the end of the world.
And at that point, you published a podcast, which I think, as you said at the time, was the story of a failed research project.
Yeah. We're like, okay, we need to publish this year. So it was the end of the world. Maybe, but maybe she isn't Daniela Kletter. Who knows?
Perhaps this is the moment for a few words about the RAF, the Red Army Faction. In the 1970s, better known as the Baader-Meinhof Gang, armed revolutionaries, anti-American, anti-imperialist. Daniela Kletter is believed to have belonged to the so-called third generation, which operated from the mid-1980s until the group disbanded in 1998. In that period, the RAF claimed responsibility for the assassination of five prominent Germans. The perpetrators have never been caught.
The head of West Germany's biggest bank has been murdered in a car bomb attack. A left-wing terrorist group, the Red Army Faction, is thought to be responsible. Alfred Herrhausen was head of the Deutsche Bank and an advisor to Chancellor Kohl.
Charismatic and powerful, Alfred Herrhausen was a personal friend of the then German Chancellor Helmut Kohl. He died in that bomb attack in November 1989, shortly after the fall of the Berlin Wall.
I was under a great shock. And I remember I came by airplane and I went to the city of Frankfurt, and there was a lot of police, and the center of the city was closed down practically because there were so many official people coming.
This is Tanja Langer. She's a writer, 30 years younger than Herrhausen, but a close friend. Close enough for the family to invite her to the funeral in the cathedral in Frankfurt.
And then afterwards, the family took me along to the cemetery and to their house, and Kissinger was there and Kohl was there, but it was a small group, maybe 30 or 40 people. And I realized many of them knew me. They knew my name, and his wife, she also introduced me, saying, "This is his Tanja."
Tanja had met Alfred Herrhausen some years earlier. He'd been on the panel on a live TV show. She'd been in the audience. At the party afterwards, they got into a discussion about unemployment. And as they were leaving, he said, "Why don't you write to me?"
I thought he was just kidding, but I wrote my first letter to the Deutsche Bank. And he answered. He called and he asked me if he could go out for dinner and go on with our conversations. And at that time, he was really interested in the development of Russia and the GDR. And I had a lot of relatives in the GDR, so I could tell him a lot.
And you were 19, 20 years old?
I was 19. I was just finishing school. And we became very close friends. And we had a relationship over 8 years until his death, where we exchanged a lot of ideas and thoughts and affection.
Tanja wrote hundreds more letters over those 8 years. He usually responded by telephone.
This was a few days after the wall fell, and I wrote to him, "Alles ist in Aufruhr und all die Neugierigen aus Westdeutschland sind inzwischen eine Zumutung für unsere Stadt geworden. I am telling him about the exceptional situation in the city, that there so many people were coming and the whole atmosphere was so crazy."
If I can say this, it's not an obvious relationship. You're a young left-wing student. He's a much older conservative banker.
Yes, and in the beginning I was surprised he was interested in my thoughts, and I was surprised to find someone who was not boring at all. And he had so much humor, and he loved philosophy and literature and art, and so we had a lot to talk about.
Tanja didn't speak about this relationship for years, but eventually she wrote a novel about it, a novel about a young student and her relationship with an older man, a banker.
So part of your novel involves, as it were, journalistic or historical research. You try to find out who did kill Alfred Herrhausen. What did you conclude at the end of that?
So I went to the archive of the East German Intelligence Service, Stasi, trying to figure out with whom was he working, at what time, who could have been a spy in the bank. So in the end, my conclusion was that even if the RAF carried out the murder, maybe there were interests that also were part of it.
Germany today, of course, is a very different country from that of 1989. The RAF is long gone. And yet the bombings and shootings of the 1970s and 80s remain in the collective memory, remain an integral part of the history of post-war Germany. That violence was the extreme expression of an era when, for the first time, Germans had dared to challenge their parents' generation about the crimes of the Nazi period. And there remains, apparently, a continued fascination with the RAF. Later this year, for example, public television will run a new four-part drama series about Alfred Herrhausen and, in conjunction, a new documentary.
We are Legion.
The podcast about the ultimately fruitless search for Daniele Kletter was released just before Christmas. And then, only 2 months later, in February, this.
Police in Germany have arrested a former member of the far-left Red Army faction who had been on the run for 30 years. 65-year-old Daniele Kletter, who's suspected of armed robbery and attempted murder, was detained in a flat in central Berlin after a tip-off. The Red Army faction, also known as the...
That flat in central Berlin from where Daniele Kletter was led away in handcuffs is a 15-minute walk from the office where the podcaster Patrick Stegemann and his colleagues had run their investigation. Patrick was on holiday in France when he heard the news.
So I got the call from a colleague from a big German news outlet, and he verified that Claudia is Daniele Kletter, that she used the Facebook account. So we knew like 100% that... we found Daniele Kletter 2 months ago. It's a very wild mixture of feelings.
But excited, no?
Yeah, very excited. But also negative excitement, positive excitement was like everything. Because, yeah, it's a pretty weird mixture of feelings, actually.
The police who arrested Daniele Kletter are from Hanover. That's a city, a two-hour train journey west of Berlin. And that's where I am now.
So this is footage from a security camera in a supermarket in a small town called Hildesheim, and these two men walk in.
Ja, hier auf dem Video sehen wir Garweg und auch Staub, wie sie maskiert.
Daniele Kletter was not the only RAF suspect on the run. She was wanted along with two others, two men, Burkhard Garweg and Ernst Volker Staub. We're watching them on a video at police headquarters as they try to hold up a supermarket in 2016. Garweg and Staub are also thought to be former RAF members. But Frido de Vries, who's head of the criminal police here, is investigating them not for terrorist activity in the 1990s, but violent crime in the 2010s.
Ja, die drei Beschuldigten, ehemalige Angehörigen auch der Roten Armee-Fraktion hier in Deutschland.
The three suspects, who are also all former members of the Red Army faction, are strongly suspected of having carried out a series of armed robberies using both firearms and a rocket launcher.
So they're dangerous.
Ja, sie sind hochgefährlich und
yes, they're extremely dangerous. We're looking for these three in connection with 13 different attacks, and we know that in a couple of cases they tried to set fire to a vehicle even though there were people inside.
Daniele Kletter and her colleagues, this is the speculation, were carrying out robberies not for any political reasons, but simply to pay for a life in hiding. when the police searched Kletter's flat in Berlin, they found tens of thousands of euros in cash. They found five weapons, including a Kalashnikov and a replica rocket launcher. And they found evidence that at least one of the others had also been there.
Wir wissen zumindest von Garweg, dass in dem Apartment war, in der Wohnung.
We know that Garweg at least had been in Frau Kletter's flat. We also found traces of Staub's DNA in the flat, but we can't say with any certainty if he had actually been in the flat, because these traces were found on objects that could have been taken there subsequently.
The arrest of Daniela Kletter didn't run quite as smoothly as the police might have liked. Before the handcuffs went on, she had a brief opportunity to send a text message.
Bei der Festnahme selber haben unsere Kollegen Unterstützung auch von Kollegen.
When my colleagues carried out the arrest, they asked police colleagues in Berlin for support. They went together up to the apartment, but at that point, still didn't know for sure whether this was the right flat. So for tactical reasons, it was decided to ring the bell and engage the occupant in conversation. And it was in those moments after the bell was rung that Frau Kletter managed to send a text message to Burkhard Garweg.
Having sent that message warning Garweg that her cover was blown, it's been widely reported that Kletter took the SIM card out of her phone and flushed it down the toilet.
Das können wir nicht bestätigen. Also wir haben diese SIM-Karte nicht.
We're unable to confirm that. We don't have the SIM card. Frau Kletter did go to the toilet and she did use the flush. Whether or not she flushed the SIM card down the toilet, we don't know.
I asked the police if they'd heard the podcast. They said they had, but they denied that this was what led them to Daniela Kletter. The decisive tip had come from a member of the public. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Arbeiten bei Mainova, da steckt mehr dahinter. Wir suchen Ingenieure und Ingenieurinnen wie Sie, die bereit sind, mit uns Großes zu bewegen. Als führender Anbieter für Energiedienstleister aus der Wirtschaftsmetropole Frankfurt bauen wir bei Mainova die Energieinfrastruktur von morgen. Wir bieten Ihnen eine leitende Rolle mit attraktivem Gehalt, inklusive Zusatzleistungen und vielfältige Weiterbildungsmöglichkeiten. Jetzt bewerben unter mainova.de/karriere.
I'm Tim Mansell with Assignment. Whether Daniela Kletter can be persuaded to talk about her life in the RAF is a moot point, but there's much the authorities would like to know about the third generation. Who killed Herrhausen? Who shot Detlef Rohwedder, the man in charge of selling off East German industry in the early 1990s? Back in Berlin, I meet Petra Terhoven. She's a historian who's written extensively about contemporary political violence.
What we do know is that the generation was much more professional than the first terrorists. That's also why the investigators had these enormous difficulties to find them, because they just didn't leave any traces.
The two most prominent victims of the third generation were the head of Deutsche Bank and the head of the Treuhandanstalt, the agency for the privatization of East German industry. In historical terms, is it important that these crimes are solved?
Well, of course, it would be politically and morally important for Germany as a state under the rule of law to solve these cases. And especially for the victims' families, it would be very important to know who killed their loved ones. To them, it is incredibly hard to close this chapter without knowing the identity of the killers, of course.
How likely do you think it is that the arrest of Daniela Cletta will lead to information about the perpetrators of the murders of, say, Herrhausen or Rohweder?
Well, to be honest, I'm rather skeptical. I wouldn't expect too much from her. The majority of the ex-members of the group actually doesn't speak about their past. It is like a political sect. It's a kind of cartel of silence. And so probably she won't speak.
A few days after they'd arrested Daniela Cletta, the police moved in again. They'd worked out where one of the other two suspects, Burkhard Galwig, had been living, a caravan site tucked in next to a railway line in the eastern part of Berlin. But Galwig, alerted by that text message, was long gone.
It's quite a small area, not a big space, just a couple of narrow streets, and everywhere are parked trucks and vans and camper vans, a lot of bicycles.
And, irony of ironies, a large building in glass and steel looming up behind the railway. It's a federal police building. Galwig had been living right under their noses. My guide here is a friendly man I find fixing cars in a small workshop. His name is Max.
So tell me, who lives here?
You have a mixture of punks, freaks, perhaps some dropouts. Sometimes you have persons which have a drug problem or a mental problem, but it works.
And Burkhard Galwig lived here?
Yeah, he was a little bit shy, was a friendly, silent man. He had always one or two dogs with him.
Do you know how long he lived here?
I suppose it must have been 4, 5, 6 years. I don't know exactly.
Do you remember the last time you saw him?
Yeah, the last time I saw him, we talked about the containers with the garbage to bring them to the street at the right day and to bring them back. Yeah, and that's it.
And he knew your name?
He knew my name. I knew his name.
And what was his name?
We all knew him as Martin.
And did you ever see Daniela Cletta or Hans Volker Staub here?
Yeah, Daniela, I saw her sometimes here. But
here?
Yeah, here, but for me she was a visitor. We said hello and that's it.
Now that you know that your neighbour, who you knew as Martin, is one of Germany's most wanted men, How does that make you feel?
it's funny, because I think, okay, he must have been a bad boy in former times, playing with weapons and whatever, but as I know him, he was just an ordinary guy, as you or me.
As I'm leaving, I ask Max if I can take a picture of him. He's not keen.
Yeah, very paranoid, always pictures.
So you're paranoid with pictures, or everybody here is?
Not me personally, but it's not allowed to have pictures at the moment. Because some people still think, okay, could be police detective or spy or whatever.
So, no picture. Max's reluctance is perhaps understandable. In East Berlin, they still remember the Stasi, the East German secret police, who watched everyone. And now, in the age of AI, who knows where a picture might end up? As it turns out, the police in Germany are prevented by law from using the kind of tool that the podcasters used to look for Daniela Cletta. Friedo de Vries, the police chief in Hanover, wants that to change.
Das, was uns weiterbringen würde, und das ist, glaube ich, 2024 auch braucht.
What would help us and what we need in 2024 is to be able to compare photos that we've got with photos on the internet. Not in every case, but I think we need to have that discussion that we should be allowed to search for people online beyond our own police databases using artificial intelligence.
The police are not alone. The main opposition party in Germany, the CDU, has made the same demand. In light of Kletter's arrest, they say, it's time to change the law to enable the police to use facial recognition software to search publicly available databases.
It's the end of May, and there's a big conference going on for the next 3 days here in Berlin. It's called Republika. And as one person's told me, it's a gathering of everybody who's important in the digital community in Germany.
My name is Jens Zimmermann. I'm a member of the German Bundestag for the Social Democrats, and I'm the spokesperson on digital affairs.
The Social Democrats are the biggest party in the German government.
The CDU would like to have the law changed to enable the police to use the kind of software that the journalists use to identify Daniele Kletter. What's the SPD position on that?
So first of all, I understand that the police wants to have this ways and means to investigate, but at the same time, it is a strong intrusion into the privacy of every citizen, because it would ultimately mean that every citizen is constantly monitored in the internet. But I think it would be simply unconstitutional.
If they'd been able to use this tool, perhaps they would have arrested Daniele Kletter significantly sooner.
Yes, probably they would have caught her faster, earlier. But this is why we are living in a democracy. And because if you go down that path, we are in a Chinese-style society and model where you have video cameras on every corner connected to artificial intelligence, and every citizen has a social scoring account, and you will be punished if you're not doing what the Communist Party wants you to do. So that's why I simply don't buy that argument.
If the use of AI is an issue for the police, it's also an issue for journalists. What conversations, I wonder, did the podcaster Patrick Stegemann and his colleagues at Undone have before they deployed artificial intelligence in their search for Daniele Kletter?
This was part of the reason why we decided to publish the story, although we haven't found Daniele Kletter, because we thought that at least it's an interesting story about what an AI is capable of. It's a threat for all of us.
But still, you thought it was justified in this case?
At the end, we decided, yeah, it's justified in this case because Daniele Kletter, she's part of a terrorist organization, or used to be part of a terrorist organization, and that's why it's justified, and there's a public interest in it. I mean, the question people ask a lot is, why is the police not doing your job? And I'm pretty happy that the police can't use this kind of software, because I don't want the state having these possibilities and this power.
Daniele Kletter is one of three. Burkhard Garweg and Ernst Volker Staub are still on the run. You could use AI to look for them.
Of course we did before, like we did in our investigation, of course.
Sorry, you're saying that you did the same thing with the other two?
Yeah, and we found some hints, but it wasn't not with this likelihood that we could like publish it or even follow these traces. Yeah, and then after Daniele Kletter got arrested, of course, we discussed briefly, but then we also decided it's not our job. Every journalist in Germany will now use this software to find somebody. Now it's the game of the mainstream, it's not our game anymore.
So, as of June 2024, Burkhard Garweg and Ernst Volker Staub are still on the run, still staring out of wanted posters in police stations all over Germany. Since Kletter's arrest, the police have new pictures of Garweg, but for now at least, they'll have to rely on old methods to find him. That's all from Assignment. I'm Tim Mansell. The editor is Penny Murphy.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI for people.
Arbeiten bei Mainova, da steckt mehr dahinter. Wir suchen Ingenieure und Ingenieurinnen wie Sie, die bereit sind, mit uns Großes zu bewegen. Als führender Anbieter für Energiedienstleister aus der Wirtschaftsmetropole Frankfurt bauen wir bei Mainova die Energieinfrastruktur von morgen. Wir bieten Ihnen eine leitende Rolle mit attraktivem Gehalt, inklusive Zusatzleistungen und vielfältige Weiterbildungsmöglichkeiten. Jetzt bewerben unter mainova.de/karriere.
Hi, I'm former Wales international footballer Robert Earnshaw. And in Copper Bullets, a new four-part series from Amazing Sports Stories, I'm exploring how my birth country, Zambia, overcame the devastating loss of their national football team in 1993.
Zambia has had its biggest blow ever in the history of the country.
I kept asking myself, how do we honor these people?
We had to rise from the ashes.
Amazing Sports Stories from the BBC World Service. Find it wherever you get your BBC podcasts.